Hey folks, welcome to Pro Football Ireland as we start to look back on the NFL draft. Even though at the time of recording we're about to enter day 3, we're in Killarney in the Falcha Hotel, Falcha Restaurant, a massive Falcha to everyone that's listening or watching. But I have to start with this, man. Here we're in Kerry.
Yeah.
Connell, yeah. What's the crack? Kerry, lad.
Oh, it's amazing down here. The weather's been great, actually, all week. I've been in college and then I came back. Weather was still amazing. You can get down to the beach and everything now. You know, you're down here now for the weekend, so you obviously have, you know, plenty of activities ahead of you, whether it be, you know, we're in Killarney, going to the National Park, everything like that. You know, there's plenty of stuff to be doing out here anyway.
This episode brought to you by Kildare County Board, man, over here. Kerry County Board.
Well, I tell you what, after you came to Belfast, I think we had to come down and see the crack. We'll obviously talk in a wee second why we're down here. Mark, obviously a shout out to the lads at Falcha, the owner, will not say his name. Thanks to the person who linked us up, but the owner's a Cardinals fan, so you're obviously happy enough already. You feel at home.
We just talked about how he was in Vegas the week before the Super Bowl. We shared our experiences there, and then Arizona. But it's crazy where this podcast has brought us. Like, it's not crazy, it's mental, to be in Killarney, but over the last year we've recorded in so many places, whether within Ireland or within Europe or even America. That's I don't know, it's really good to be down in Killarney. I don't know, should we say, Michael, how we got here this morning? I think we have a fine enough audience that no one's going to be too upset about the environmental impact. And also in work when I said it to them, I flew down, but it literally flew down.
Lastminute.com as well. Found out at 9:30 on the Friday evening of what's going on. And like, let's talk about it first off. We'll talk about the draft in a wee second. But, you know, Connell, you're in your early 20s.
I am.
I'm my early 30s. And Mark, you're not too far off me. I have to say, at the time this is going out, it's already been announced, but we know that Paddy Clifford has made a draft pick for the Steelers. Greg O'Shea, Love Island lads, making a draft pick for the Jets, and our lad, friend of the podcast, Stevie, making a pick for the Jags as well in the Sport Ireland campus. It's just surreal. I mean, how big do you think this is as an NFL fan seeing Paddy Clifford make a draft pick in Kerry?
It's not even a case of, you know, like, this is, he's the biggest, one of the biggest names in football at the moment. He's the captain of one of, you know, probably at least a top four team in the country, you know,
at
minimum. And that's, you know, that's just the, you know, cute Kerry whorism of, like, we can't say we're the best, but, you know,
well,
but he's,
yeah, all right, so this is the GA podcast here.
This is us over now. Good luck.
Yeah, like, it's clear. And, like, you know, even talking to the owner here, like, the sport is absolutely awesome, exploding, like, down here, and just the environment around it as well. Like, you know, having such a big name involved in it is kind of like, you know, you have like it, oh yeah, it's a different sport, but if one of our favorite people, one of our favorite players is involved in it and loves it, sure, I'm going to love it as well. Like, I may as well. There's no reason for me not to.
The Steelers have talked about it, that, and I think all the NFL teams active in Ireland would admit it, that the way into the fandom here is to go with your elite sports players, because what they like, we're all sheep and we follow along. But I think it's brilliant for Paddy in particular, because we had him,
he's actually a Steelers,
one of our first ever guests on with Pro Football Ireland back in December of 2022. And he was telling us about how he was a Steeler. And for him, I think on a personal note, look, your Greg O'Shea is fantastic. Way to go to the Jets getting him. I don't think it's personal. I think influencers get a lot of stuff thrown their way, and he's just, it's probably just a gig for him. He's probably getting paid. When it comes to Paddy, Paddy is a phenomenal individual, a football player. Something like this for him would have been very special, and that's why we came down to Killarney to celebrate it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's cool to be behind it and see everything happening. Obviously, great to have you guys down here as well. I feel like I see Mark Hogan every other weekend at the minute. Connell, you got back from Belfast, okay, so that's definitely a
good thing. Did.
You enjoyed it at least, yeah.
Oh yeah, it was lovely. Now,
underrated. Have you told everyone the North's all right, like, or what?
I told everyone that you have strange Tato, and there was something else. Yeah, me and Dara, he like brought me down to where the bus station was, and he like we stopped in, and we stopped into one of the Tesco's, and your bloody meal deals are like £5 or something like that.
They're £3.50 on the cup.
Yeah, it's like so much cheaper down like than up there than down here.
I love how this has went from Paddy Clifford to meal deals in 30 seconds. You were giving off about this in the airport earlier.
Oh, you know, Dublin airport. Yeah, it's crazy. Again, it's just wild. Talk about crazy to be on a flight down to Kerry. The Kerry airport is something to be
holding on. It's the best airport. You could arrive to your flight 30 minutes before in Kerry airport.
Wow.
They'll stop you in the line, and they'll be like, who's getting on this flight? And then you'll get to skip everyone else.
The taxi man, honest to God, the taxi man goes to us later on. He goes, be there early because the plane might take off 15 minutes. If there's no people on board, they'll lock the door.
Yeah.
It's that cheap that I've got both flights booked home tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, that's €20 €20
Look, obviously great to be down in Killarney. Our last podcast was on Friday morning. Props to you, Mark, and Jason as well for the work done on Thursday. I know it was, you know, mainly with the video and stuff, but I appreciate it a lot. Great stuff and great crack. Thanks to everybody for sort of following on. Those draft podcasts with you and Dar were fantastic, and even people were chatting me saying how much they enjoyed it.
And so that's why we got a session going here now today, because the brains of it now is, yeah, I mean, it's a great week for you. And I've gotten texts as well about it, being like yourself and Dara. Look, everyone knows, and as we get into talking about the draft, I don't do mock drafts. I stay well away from them because it's a complete groupthink, and we'll get into like why people are shocked that X player has gone to Team Y with this third overall round, because like everyone is thinking the same way, but you and Dara have had phenomenal insight because you genuinely watch it. You're not some NFL analyst that is 11 months of the year paying attention.
Every Saturday night, like I see it on WhatsApp every Saturday.
And I think
night.
It came through for you too. Like, you're obviously smart, but I think that our coverage, not to give ourselves too big a pat on the back, but I think that it has been fantastic. So it is definitely to pick your brain and all of our brains as we link these players to where they ended up. I don't know, do you want to ask, but I would love to know, is there any player that came off the board, whether early or late, that you're like, that's a fantastic, or let's ignore Michael Penix Jr. for a second.
Oh, we have to talk about that.
We will get into it. But was there any, did you notice an extreme value pick that you were like, people weren't paying attention to running back X, but he landed in the third round and it was cool?
So there was like a lot of like really good picks. I just have down, like, it's just down kind of in my winners and losers. Like the Bills got amazing value for their draft picks. They got two of
Keen
my
Coleman, wasn't
players.
Good,
yeah, they got Keen Coleman at the top of the third round. They traded back twice, got extra draft picks, gained draft value. And then they also got Cole Bishop, who, like, he's Utah safety. And every single week we had Utah. I think Utah was one of the teams we talked about the most, because the first half of the season, they were amazing. And their defense was, like, the best in the country, even without them. Their quarterback, who's supposed to come back, basically every week it was rumored he was coming back and coming back from a torn ACL. He just didn't come back, so their defense had to play like out of their minds every single week, and he was getting interceptions and he was forcing fumbles like every single week. So I think he's going to be a really good safety, especially after they lost both Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer this year. So he's going to have a really big year for them. And then Keon Coleman, Florida State, who obviously are going to be playing in Dublin next year or this year. He was like, we picked them in week one, and I found out about him and I was like, this guy is like, he's everything I don't like in a receiver, where I don't like the guys who maybe aren't the most polished route runners, but he's such a good wide receiver. Like, he goes off and gets the ball. He's just such an interesting player.
You're such a flex man, because I had to say, this podcast is presented by the draft coverage podcast, presented by Betty Erlinger's College Football Classic. And you mentioned Florida State's Keon Coleman. They're playing Georgia Tech. David Shanahan, I actually texted him a second, going, are you in Kerry? Come on over here. He's not in Kerry. He's back in a few weeks. That game is on the 24th of August, linktr.ee/NFL Ireland. Limited tickets. We'll see you down there.
I suppose, see the crack. Jumping off that game, Joe Alt played in Dublin
only
in August.
The TikTok we done this weekend. And like, here, those graphics were unreal.
Oh man, if we talked about the graphics, Mark Hogan, who I got a text off someone saying, how did you draft coverage up and read me the news on Today FM at 6:50 that morning? I woke up at 1:30 expecting the first pick to be announced at 1:30. I had a graphic ready to go.
How many picks were in at that point?
There are three picks, and they're all predictable picks, and I had the graphics ready to go. Oh man, it was a disaster. 1:30, everyone knows the draft coverage. Live coverage starts at 1:00.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, it's like WrestleMania. The first fight isn't on for the first 20 minutes. Like, so yeah, lo and behold, I dropped the ball. So I gave up at pick 16. I was three picks behind. I was like, do you know what? I'm not getting engaged. But it was fun watching the draft. But Joe Alt, I suppose, when he went to the LA Chargers, and him having played in Dublin last year, which was really cool, because the year before we had Peter Skoronski.
Yeah.
So like, these NFL players, and it's funny that they're in the trenches, are playing in Ireland, which is really, really cool. We're seeing NFL talent.
He's a massive human being.
He's massive. Man.
When I was down on the field, like, they came out and like the tight ends and offensive linemen were warming up down at the far end zone. So I had to go, you couldn't cross over the Notre Dame sideline because they had to come out the tunnel there. So I had to go all the way around the field to get to the other side. And I'm just there, and like Joe Alt and like Blake Fisher, who I can't remember who picked him. He got picked later on by the Texans. Both of those guys, two massive offensive tackles. And I'm like, this guy, like, he shouldn't move how he does, but he didn't start playing as an offensive lineman until like his senior year of high school. He used to be a tight end, and he's like 6'8". He moves like a tight end, basically. He's insane.
As of the time of recording, your best friend hasn't been picked yet. Sam Hartman.
I know.
He might be at some point, we'll see.
Do you know, that Joe Alt, though, pick for me when we translated into NFL, I thought it was a fantastic pick because obviously the Chargers were looking at Malik Nabers or certainly mock drafts.
Everyone thought they were going to get like an offensive-minded player.
But this is what bugs me about NFL draft coverage by most of the mainstream media is that everyone says, okay, well, the need is wide receiver. So what is he done from NFL media? What has ESPN said? What has The Athletic said? Okay, it's Malik Nabers. Let's go with Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers is a fantastic player, obviously, or hopefully that's what we're going to see. But Joe Alt, when he goes there, that says, we're going to be really patient. We're going to understand that this draft is stacked with wide receivers. And they went and then got Ladd McKinsky in the top of the second round, who everyone was saying he's going to be your first-round pick.
As of right now, like the Chargers are like one of my winners for this NFL draft.
They got Junior Colson then in the third round, which is the first of the Michigan guys with the Jim Harbaugh influence.
My prediction was wrong because Blake Corum got picked. He went to the wrong Los Angeles team.
And I called it the lock of the draft on TikTok. Here is our TikTok moment for you boys. We got to talk about the Falcons. We have to, because I didn't, as much as I enjoyed the podcast with Jeff on Friday morning, I don't think we really talked about it. I ended up watching Mark's video and he got to the point of history. So much stuff was going on, all the quarterbacks picked first. Michael Penix could literally be what age, Mark, by the time he actually plays with the Falcons. And I only seen this whenever I was getting all of this course on Friday evening. The fallout between the agent of Kirk Cousins, lads, and the Falcons, and the fact that Cousins obviously was on the phone to Michael Penix, and they've sort of evened it out. But if I'm Kirk Cousins, Mark, I'm thinking, what the hell's going on here? But like, if you're usually, not in this case, a young quarterback, the lad's 24 years of age already, if you're sitting there and you know you're going to be sitting for 2 or 3 years doing nothing, come on.
All right, let's rationalize it in so many different ways. They go out and get Kirk Cousins. Look, we're not going to get into this. This has been released after the draft. Everyone has heard about like the shock of it all. But when you actually break down what is going on, like, okay, if they have him as a backup because Kirk Cousins was injured last year, well, you were the ones that gave Kirk Cousins a massive contract after looking at his health.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Like, it's off the table. But the massive thing for me is, if you have him being groomed for the future,
would you not just pick J.J. McCarthy?
No, well, first, younger? I'll get to that. The J.J. McCarthy, I'm glad they didn't buy in J.J. McCarthy, because J.J. McCarthy was the media darling this year that went from being a third-round pick to a second-round pick to being ultimately a top 10, but, you know, they were really, really pushing him that the Vikings would have to trade up and get him. They ultimately didn't. But for me, when they go for Penix, maybe it's like, okay, let's be a bit cute here and say, no, we're not going to go for the media darling. Michael Penix is going to be there until Kirk Cousins leaves. The out is in 2026, when there will be a dead money attached of $24 million. At that rate, the $6 million for a third year rookie deal. Yeah. So they will still be paying $30 million. If you're trying to take advantage of a rookie deal, when you have to pay Kyle Pitts, Drake London, you're going to have to pay the running back Bijan Robinson. In year three, when you're supposed to be able to push all in on a rookie deal, you're still going to be attributing $30 million your quarterback. There is no benefit to this pick unless it's an insurance policy, and we've already disregarded that because you were supposed to do your homework on the health of Kirk Cousins.
Do you think there's a whole discourse as well, Connell, with even Peter Schrager coming out and giving off about the picks being leaked online? Like, that was the biggest, and that was the best part about the draft, the what if moment, the shock that everybody had whenever he was picked. Do you agree with that, or do you think just put your phone down?
So I prefer to watch the NFL Network coverage. And right before,
it was Rappaport.
Yeah,
that,
Rappaport said it, but I thought it was going to be one of those things where, like, sometimes he'll say stuff, but it doesn't end up happening. So I was like, haha, like this is not going to happen. They can be impressed with him, but they can go and get him later on in the draft.
There's a good 2 or 3 minutes behind as well.
But then,
It's your own perspective on the draft. I'm one of those people that's trying to be ahead for social media, so I'm following on. And now,
but if you're sitting with a beer watching,
I listen along because I want to hear the analysis anyway afterwards, because that's what you're tuning in for. A fan, if you like, this is the whole guys in the media, like, we're trying to bring you the best program. It's like, yeah, but that's what you want to give to a certain viewer. But if you're one of those people that is up in Ireland at 3 a.m. Like, I'm just wanting to see my pick, because I know certainly when the Cardinals did it with their one, I just wanted to get to their pick to be like, what is the future of my organization going towards? I don't really care about the bells and whistles that NFL Network and ESPN want attached to it.
But what made the pick, I think, so like strange for me is that it came out afterwards. I can't remember which person reported, but it was like the Raiders, the Saints, and one other team wanted to trade into the top 10 to pick Penix, supposedly. And then I'm just like, I don't really understand that, because in my opinion, I had him, like, I preferred Bo Nix to him. It was a lot of the health concerns as well. And I think I tweeted out, it's like, oh, they're thinking, well, look, he can't get injured if he's not playing. But it's like, the other quarterback you did just pick, like, I had a friend, like, just like you said, like, oh, is he an insurance policy? And it's like, you don't pay a guy $100 million if you think.
And Michael, just for an insurance, I don't know if where you've put our McGarry podcast out that we've recorded with the offensive lineman.
We haven't put it out yet.
We haven't put it out yet. But I said to him on that podcast, said, you are going to be one of the most exciting offense, because this front office has been investing in running back, then tight end, then wide receiver.
It's the Falcons player.
Then it's like, it feels like all the good work is undone, because they're like, okay, we have cashed in on all those big players. And it's the NFC, and certainly the NFC South, is so open this year that it's like, that's why Kirk Cousins is upset. And that's why he said they didn't do something to help the team this year, because I will be on the field. So then we can't have two quarterbacks out there. If they had gone, like, Roma Dunze is right there. Imagine you have an offense with Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Roma Dunze, and then Bijan Robinson. It's like, we are going to be talking about that all summer. And now it's like, no, balloon's been popped.
It's not even that. Like, there at that point, there was no defensive player taken. And there's, like, amazing, like, there's great cornerbacks. And, like, yeah, they have AJ Terrell, but they could definitely use help on that side of the ball. They also really need, like, a bona fide, like, number one amazing pass rusher, and they could have gone for my favorite guy, Laiatai Latu, or they could have gone with Dallas Turner, who ended up falling to 17. Like,
there's a lot of guys falling. You're obviously a Broncos fan. For people on this podcast, the Broncos have been through quarterbacks, like children going through sweets at Christmas or Easter. Yeah. What's different about Bo Nix? I mean, we've seen it come out the day after, even after we recorded with Jeff, saying about how Sean Payton brought him in before, and they gave him a playbook to learn different things, learn. They were very impressed by him. But I mean, are you not at the point now where you're going, oh, here's another guy coming in that needs a couple of years to prove himself? Like, do you believe in the pick?
I think he is, like, if we're going based on kind of a floor right now, like NFL readiness, I think it's like Williams, Jaden Daniels maybe, and then a Bo Nix, and then I think, depending on Drake May, he's kind of number four, right? That's what I'd kind of go for. And I think he's really good. I think his ceiling, definitely, you know, he could be like, his ceiling kind of is a little bit worse, kind of Kirk Cousins, maybe. He has a better arm than Kirk Cousins. He supposedly is amazing at, you know, processing the field. But last, it's really difficult to evaluate him, because a lot of his plays in college were like kind of screen passes, dump offs, everything like that. But then Sean Payton said, you know, he got the analytics team and he was like, right, will you take out everything just to be like long balls or medium range? And he graded out to be one of the better guys for that.
No,
so it's like, I don't know. I think it's better as a fan to be optimistic than pessimistic is the best way I can put it. So I'd rather him. I'm going to keep going for him until he proves that he's bad.
Yeah, I think Mark wants to say something.
Connell makes me roll, not you. The fact that you're bringing Sean Payton into this is what makes me roll my eyes. I think it's a lack of patience from Sean Payton that I need a quarterback to work with because I want to be seen as a success. I don't think Bo Nix, if you're paying Russell Wilson anyway, I don't see how he's an upgrade over Russell Wilson. It's like, you have to have the patience to say, we are not winning a Super Bowl this year. We're not getting out of that division with the Chargers and the Chiefs, and we're not getting out of that division. So it's like, let us go and get a Dallas Turner who's hanging out there. It's like,
I thought after no defensive player had been taken, I was like, I don't think they're going to take a quarterback.
We understand the hit rate in quarterbacks in the past. Like, when in this draft you have 1, 2, 3. The last time that happened was Trevor Lawrence, then Zach Wilson, then Trey Lance. Two of those aren't on the same team anymore.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about quarterback number 6. We know the hit rate is not there. There's no other team that you're now competing with, so you can wait for him in the second round. So it's like, why not? Because, and we'll bring this forward and get off the Broncos and talk about some quarterback, but I want to talk about Turner. the Vikings had a steal of a draft because they didn't have to trade up for JJ
McCarthy.
They
got the guys they wanted.
They had to go up one pick to get him. And then as a result, because everyone thought they were going to have to package the two picks together to get up to number four, but they're like, no, that's ridiculous. There's enough quarterbacks. They then get Dallas Turner, and it feels like an absolute freebie to replace Danielle Hunter. I think that's how you go. And I don't think the Vikings look any worse now. Look, they don't have Kirk Cousins, but they do have a JJ McCarthy, who, again, I'm not going to tell you whether he's a good or bad quarterback. But then they replace Danielle Hunter. They got that bit younger, a little less experienced. But the players, the ceilings for the players are still high versus just replacing a Russell Wilson with a Bo Nix, and you're still losing out in the money. There's no savings. There's no help for the future there. It just seems a lack of patience. Like, just start Zach Wilson at that point.
Well, don't even bring that into my head.
Or Brett Riff. But you have to. Like, the Cardinals went with Colt McCoy, essentially, for a year when Kyler Murray or whatever was out. And it's like, you have to admit to yourself, we are better off just not having the quarterback this year. We can't put bums on seats.
But Peyton doesn't have time, I don't think. I don't think he has that luxury.
But that's it with Peyton. It's like, he does have time, but he doesn't want to spend the time. He's like, I'm a guru.
I don't think he's that much time. I think he's got 2 years. Genuinely, I don't think they're going to give
him
any
more. I don't think Bo Nix helps that.
Like, not to stay on the Broncos, but very, very quickly, Peyton even started joking around in the press conference about how he was trying to sort of get Minnesota the move.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there going, like, really?
I mean, I want to add in one thing, and that is, so the last time there were six quarterbacks taken in the first round was, what, 1983? So that was like John Elway.
All of us were born. That's how long ago it was.
But do you know who the sixth quarterback in that draft was?
No.
Dan Marino. So, you know, I'll leave that there. I'll leave that there.
Boom, drop the mic. I know you want to talk about a different player in a second. I do want to bring it up because I will forget about it. The fastest time in the combine, I think, in history. See if you're aware of it.
Yeah.
The Chiefs trade up two or three picks to get him. Mark, I mean.
Four picks, yeah.
Four, I mean, come off it.
The thing about Xavier Worthy is that everyone said, now that he set the record, it's going to help his stock, for his draft stock.
Mm.
Look, again, I'm not going to say I'm an expert in the player. I can justify that as soon as that pick was made, it's like, okay, finally a successor to Tariq Hill. Mm-hmm. That everyone has given out the whole time, especially this year, that there's no wide receiver, but particularly there's no wide receiver that can open up the field. So straight away you can justify it, and straight away you can also say, well, it's Andy Reid and he's going to be well able to scheme up for him. So that was the impressive nature of that pick. I don't think it didn't stun me or whatever. It does seem a bit of a luxury pick, I suppose, to be able to take a flyer on that, just like they did with Clyde Edwards-Helaire maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, I think with him, it's literally a case of everyone was kind of mocking him to go there just because they have him. But I saw someone tweet out, it's like, it's crazy that the Chiefs can just kind of pick whoever they want, like at any pick, and it's going to be perfectly all right just because they have
Bills
Patrick Mahomes.
The Bills trading with them as well kind of says to me that, like, you know, when you're trying to compete with these guys, everyone's like, well, you have to make the Chiefs pay a premium if you're going to trade and give up that weapon really that they're going to use to beat. They didn't do anything. They didn't have to pay it off.
You're looking at a situation where it's pick 32. The Bills are pick 33. Granted, it was 24 hours later. It's that whole, like, I remember years ago. Do you remember whenever Deal or No Deal started again? Seriously, bear with me. With Neil Edmonds. Yeah.
Yeah, I love these times. Right? I do, genuinely.
Like, that show could be done and dusted in 10 minutes. Open the boxes, Grant. They could do the draft in one day if they really wanted to, right? So they're obviously, and of course they're spreading it out, and it's great for us on the Saturday, especially when internationally it gets to go to that point. But, you know, I conservatively applaud what the Bills done. I get it. Like, you're a Broncos fan, it's been years, but they've traded back, and everyone initially is like, oh, for God's sake. But eventually they make the pick, and they get more collateral in the end up, so it makes sense to me.
And then they use that to get Dalton Reisner, what they use that for, and Drew Locke.
Don't bring that up. Let's move on.
That Texans game will ever be burned in my memory of me having hope for the first time.
Are you, we're talking lunchtime Saturday. Is there any sort of indication from day two, anything that you've seen around two or three, or are you still looking over it at the minute?
So I looked on it when I was coming here. A lot of, like, I think there was a lot of really good picks. There's
McConkey went to the Chargers.
Yeah, the top of the second round is like one of the best. The Falcons made another bad pick, in my opinion. They got Ahoro, is like whatever his name is. He's a defensive tackle from Clemson. He's a good player, but he shouldn't have gone top of the second round, especially when Johnny Newton was
Kool-Aid fell as well.
Kool-Aid fell to 41, Saints. I think, to the Saints.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Falcons
40, I think, was he not?
Yeah,
41 to the Saints.
But now the Falcons
trade did, started then as well.
Falcons, all like I think the first four or five picks in the second round were all trades. It's insane.
The Eagles ended up getting the guy at 40 who fell big time.
Cooper DeJean, and it's annoying because we're talking about Kool-Aid McKinstry. The Cardinals needed one or other of these guys, and they continued to fall. And that's the thing with the cornerbacks. We've seen that Jair Alexander wasn't he a second round pick as well. It's like, there's massive value in the cornerback position in round two, especially when you get those top guys. Because that's the funny thing about the cornerbacks. It's like the pre-draft analysis is often very accurate. Mm-hmm. Like when it's Pat Surtain with your Broncos or otherwise, they often, because you can stand out, because whether in the NFL or in college, you're often put on an island or, you know, put up over those top receivers. Like Marvin Harrison Jr., we expect to be a big star. You know, these guys have to line up against them. That, we'll see how they pan out. But the top of the second round was definitely interesting.
Yeah, just looking through here, the Cardinals actually, I think, had a really good round. I mean, they got Trey Benson, I think, in the third round even. He's going to be really good. Colts got Adonai Mitchell. He's the other Texas receiver that people, that he's better than what Xavier Worthy is. He's much better route runner, much more kind of fluid in what he does, better hands and everything like that, but he just doesn't have the, you know, 4.21 speed. The Rams, I think, had a really good draft because they got Jared Verse in the first round and then got his college teammate, Brandon Fisk, the defensive tackle, who, you know, he's taller than an Aaron Donald, but he does have kind of, he moves a lot like Aaron Donald. Now, I'm not saying he is going to be.
Did
Aaron
they trade
Donald.
Up to get him, though? I didn't think that they'd given up.
It was actually weird seeing the Rams have a first round.
Yeah. So my friend's a Rams fan, and he's been a Rams fan since about, well, like when they won the Super Bowl. So this is
every year.
This is the first time he's ever gotten to watch the draft and be like, oh, wow, they're going to pick in the first round.
It's funny that you have to be ready for the trade-ins. When I'm making these graphics to peek behind the curtain, I was like, I had to have all 32 teams ready, because even though I know the Panthers don't have a pick, they ultimately did trade into their 32 spots. It's like, yeah, even as a Rams fan, you have to pay attention just again.
How long does that take to do all that? About a week?
No, I don't even want to go into it because I didn't get the full uses out of it. But things don't just happen overnight.
Well, look, it's much appreciated. Everything's much appreciated. Like, just the last month has been really, really cool. And just very quickly, on the last month, I haven't even been chatting about this. I've had about 10 people DM me in the last day or so asking about the IPP players for Ireland. I know there's IPP players in the draft that are draft eligible, but just so people are aware, listen to this Saturday night, Sunday morning, Roy Beggin, Mark Jackson, Dara Leader are not eligible for the draft.
You know, in fairness to our podcasters, I think a lot of them are very well aware.
Lot are asking me, and I was going to clip this up for Instagram, so I'm just going to keep going. A couple of things have changed as we last spoke, Connell, at least. Dara Leader's back to full fitness, and I believe for at least one player, there's a definite hope or chance. I'm not sure of that, but you'd like to think that for a lot of people asking and wondering, the next few days are obviously going to be crucial for these boys because teams are making their draft picks. They're making their free agency pickups afterwards. And then they're going to look at the blanks and think, what do we need to do for our teams? It's a big
this
week.
This is the hottest time now. Yeah. I mean, when Charlie got signed beforehand, that's because he was an absolute standout.
He's living it up in Detroit.
And he was a standout. That's why Charlie, and not that Mark or Rory or Dara aren't, but teams were willing to settle and say, do you know what? We're going to see if we're in a position during the draft to maybe get a kicker or a punter. We're going to just see how the board falls. But those guys, now is the time, because typically kickers and punters that played in college and might have been fantastic, might have been playing in the championship game, I don't know, those guys are still hanging around. So they're going to see, can they get those guys? But then they're going to be able to go after the Irish guys. So teams were hedging their bets a little bit for the last maybe 2 or 3 weeks with the Irish players.
Let's see what happens. Connell, I think it would be great to see all three of the lads signed. I'm not sure if you've seen the video of Dara punting. He's back to full fitness. It's on. I don't know how he's doing it, lads. How the hell do you even start kicking the ball like that? Have you been out and started kicking balls?
Oh, yeah. I've been down for Shrell Stadium, like, you know, just popping a few over. Like, it's not too difficult.
Just while we're on the subject, because you're wearing the jacket, we're in Kerry on Tuesday, August the 13th. Polly Clipper's going to be a guest. More TBC in the Great Southern. Has anybody come up to you in like Super Valley and said, you know, you're a lot of no. Are you excited, nervous about this? I think it's the next time we'll see each other, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it now. I've showed my friends and stuff, and they're all like, yeah, that's cool. And some of them who, you know, don't even have an interest in it are probably going to come out for it and everything like that. So that'll be good, you know, just because like the draw of even having, you know, a Kerry football player there is enough for any person from Kerry.
I was going to say Diggin, but fair enough. Fair enough. Hogan, I don't know if Hogan's going to fly down. I don't know what the.
No, I did. That was it was funny.
You fly down here now, Barnley.
A bit like when you get the announcement for the games in London and Munich. I was paying attention, and when I saw when Michael sent me on the fixture list for where we were going, I definitely got excited. And I thought that Kerry was the standout one. That's I'm going to make sure to be at it. But I got a text straight away, Derry. Because the teachers are on school holidays. A teacher texts me and said, I'm up in the Derry date.
It's not my fault. That teacher may work in the South. And I tell you, I didn't know the last week. If you're a teacher in the South, you can opt to not work in June at all. You can cover exams or you can take your
own. Cover yeah.
What?
And get more pay for it. Yeah,
You get a bunch of pay for covering the exams and you just kind of
mad
sit
money.
At the top
I'm
of
getting
the
job in Monaghan, boys. Yeah. Has to happen. Just while we're on talking about games and schedules, I seen a tweet. This is strictly no affiliation with the NFL. Just talking generally about with mates here, right? We all seen the Jags video from Wembley. We're not going to talk about it. apparently, that mashup's up in the air, and that is not confirmed. I have seen a tweet, and I've heard something else.
I certainly don't know anything anyway, and I'm not throwing a smoker. People, if they missed the tweet, there was a leaked photo that I can only presume.
It was a video.
And a video that had the Jets playing the Jaguars, for anyone that doesn't know what we're talking
about. I mean, like, it's on the internet, so we can talk about it.
We can. But, didn't leak it.
It seems that might not be the game.
I mean, the Jets are going to be playing here.
The Jets are a possibility, it seems, but apparently it's not
I think,
in case anyone's wondering.
Yeah, I think that has to be set in stone, 100%. That is...
I'm definitely keeping this off.
They say that fixture list or, you know, the NFL schedule takes months of, you know, permutations to set down. They're not waiting for the Jags to say, okay, we're actually going to have the Jets over here.
Well... we're not far off. I say we're 2 or 3 weeks out from the schedule open. Actually, while we're on that, if we go back into this draft talk, we'll do winners and losers in a second.
Yeah, I was like, are we who do you want? So much
who, who do you want, boys? Who do you want the Chiefs to play with, like on kickoff on the Thursday night?
I think it's supposed to be.
They have the 49ers on the roster, and the.
I think the Saints. I think Charlie Smith wins the battle, and Charlie Smith hits the win field goal against the Chiefs to win in Week One.
I don't think the Saints is a sexy enough pick to start off the NFL season. Now, like, actually, but sure, there's a kickoff with the Eagles in.
No,
Green Bay, that's not the kickoff.
I think that's like a,
there is
the
Thursday night.
Friday night.
They still have the Thursday.
Are we going the Friday night? Are we going to Brazil?
Hey, so Dara, who's not on the podcast now, can either go to that or we have to all go to the draft next year, which is in Green Bay. I looked it up and was like, I'm desperate to go to a draft.
And
Detroit looks insane.
Pittsburgh have a bid in for the year after that.
Oh, love to go to a draft. Yeah, it'll be cry.
We'll see what happens. Lambeau Field next year, that'll be incredible.
That's wild.
That'll be nuts.
Dara was telling us about, like, I don't know how they're going to do it because the infrastructure, like the flights and everything is like impossible to do. But he's like, if it happens, like he's going to do whatever he can to try and get to it.
Two rounds in. And look, for anyone wondering, yes, we know there's a day actually, and it's kicking off. It's rounding off today.
The NFL teams are taking shots in the dark in round three. We're not going to offend you.
Oh, sorry.
By pretending we know who's been talked about.
We are three rounds in.
Some good players.
There's rounds 4 to 7 on Saturday. This is coming out Saturday evening, Sunday morning, this podcast. So just be aware that we have a live reaction. Myself, Jeff, and whoever else is available. Sunday night, 9 o'clock, the podcast will be out Monday morning. And that podcast that Mark was talking about, but the Falcons guy, will probably be out the week after. So it's been 2 months in.
I teased it at our Belfast show 2 weeks ago at this rate. So
it was not 2 weeks ago. Just on that, lads, just winners so far. Connell, would you say, like, I mean, in terms of your experience from watching college football, would you say the Bears?
I think it's really exciting because obviously you get Caleb Williams, but Roma Dunze falling to number 9 is wild because, like, we're talking about, is there going to be a run picks 4, 5, and 6 to get Roma Dunze? Obviously, when we're saying that the Falcons should have got him beforehand, Roma Dunze in that offense is a number 3. DJ Moore and Keenan Allen.
But you almost forget they have both those guys.
I think if you're Justin Fields, you're like, okay, last year you got me DJ Moore to see what I was worth. Give me a break. You've gone and got Keenan Allen and Roma Dunze. The offense, now, it puts Matt Eberflus under serious pressure because there is no excuses anymore. That offense, because he's had, that offense in Chicago has been a bit more like, it's conservative. It's a bit like Atlanta. They have all the playmakers, but they're not doing a whole lot with them. So we have to see, because obviously the running back room there with David Moore, isn't it?
DJ Moore.
DJ Moore. Or, no, it's the running back.
The running back. Sorry, David Montgomery.
David Montgomery. Like, with them there too, they have these really fantastic players in Chicago, but we just have to see the coaches now are under serious pressure because they have to be a winner. When Roman Odunze is there as a wide receiver three, give me a break.
I said it to Jeff the other day, sorry, Colin, bring in 2 seconds. I love Marvin Harrison going into the NFC West. I think it's the perfect boiling spot for him. It's like almost put like a lobster in the...
It's funny talking about the Cardinals because you, Connell, said that they had a good draft. I think that they had a good draft, yeah. But Monty Austin Ford's the general manager last year when he was gone viral for that wheeling and dealing in the first round. They gave up a defensive player of the year in Will Anderson to get the picks back, and that's what he wanted. He wanted to... So the team certainly looks very competitive. Obviously, Marvin Harrison is the Maserati that like is really flashy. They got a lot of complementary pieces. They picked up a tight end, a running back, an interior lineman that, if nothing else, is going to serve as competition for a team that had some players but needed a lot of competition in camp. So they had so many picks. They had 7 picks. They had 5 on the second day, 2 in the first round, and then so many third-round picks, and they're even trading to get more. That if, like, out of those 7... genuinely they could have 4 starters there, and it's like when you're talking about 4 out of your 22 guys, it's like that's very exciting as a Cardinals fan. So I do see them as a winner, but Monty Austin Ford has to back it up. Like, all these players have to pick because he did give up a Will Anderson for them, so it's like he has to deliver on them.
But it's really interesting, obviously, with the whole change in Seattle as well. That division's going to be intriguing next year. We'll talk, we've 5 months sadly to talk about that. Connell, as the college guy, I'm not trying to put a label on you here, but have you any sort of non-obvious winners or losers so far through the first 3 rounds? Like, is there a team that stands out to you that people might not talk about? Because everyone's down in the Cowboys, for example.
Oh, like, yeah.
We're all in.
I think, no, I have, not to, it's not just because they're in town right now, but actually the Steelers had a really good draft.
Like Troy Fantano.
Troy Fautan.
How does he just fall to them?
I don't know.
20 as well.
Because he can play guard or tackle, so if he doesn't work out a tackle, just chuck him in at guard, he'll be perfectly fine. Yeah, like not even having to do a trade or anything, their offensive line gets immediately better. Then they get Zach Fraser, who's the center at West Virginia the last few years. He's basically the second best center in the draft. He's going to be really good. And then they got Roman Wilson from Michigan. He was the best wide receiver for them last year. And then the number one linebacker that me and Dara had in Peyton Wilson, who was the fastest linebacker at the combine, is now he's a bit older. He's 24 and he has a little bit of injury issues. But if you look at his play on the field from last year, he's going to be like one hell of a player, in my opinion. And the other one actually is the Eagles, because they didn't have to do anything. They got Quinyon Mitchell. They got Cooper DeGene.
This was predicted before the NFL draft happened, that everyone was going to say the Eagles are winners. And then it happened again, like DeJean, because he's one that I'm tracking that I want to go to the Cardinals. And then it's like, all right, right into the lap, 40p.
What ended up happening as well is like, because like everyone was taking offense, it was like, you know, someone was like, yeah, the NFL, people were like complaining, like there's no parity in the NFL. And then teams will go and take, you know, all these project quarterbacks, and then all the good players just fall to the good teams, like the Eagles and stuff. And you can't complain when, you know, you're the ones taking the risk, albeit, but all the good players who we know are going to be.
And that's why the Falcons always pick a number 8. Mm. And that's why the Eagles are picking in the late.
But they got Jalix Hunt in the 3rd round, who I pointed him out. He was like division like 2 player. He went to Houston Christian University. So like way, way, way like down, no one was really watching him last year. But yeah, I think he's going to be a pretty good player, but he needs development. And with a team like the Eagles, who kind of churn out pass rushers year on year, he'll get time to do that at least.
Let's use the last 6 or 7 minutes just to talk on probably one of the biggest supported teams in Ireland.
Well, I was going to say, we just did teams that hit. Teams that missed, obviously, we're not going to go into the Falcons again. But Tennessee did something strange when they took DeAndre Sweat.
His name. The second round.
Character concerns, and it's like, aren't you the team that Isaiah Oliver never saw the field because he had character concerns? Caleb Farley, the cornerback, the same thing happened. He never really like struck on with them because he had his character concerns. They had Jeffrey Simmons work out as a character concern years ago, and they're just doing
hashtag
the same
character
thing.
Character
concerns. It's like, what is Tennessee doing there?
I have to give a bookmark mention for the Jags. They brought in Brian Thomas Jr. for LSU. It gives another weapon.
Do you know, they're fantastic for them because after they lost out in Calvin Ridley when he didn't re-sign with them, and it's like, Doug Peterson's offense is like, will have a different guy step up each week, like whether it was Calvin Ridley 1 week last year or Christian Kirk or to the tight end. That's what I think is kind of exciting. They don't need to have household names in his offense. It's kind of even worked like that with the Eagles.
Yeah.
That it was all about, like, if his scheme is working, then the Jags work. So it's a great weapon for Trevor Lawrence after they weren't able to re-sign Calvin Ridley. And fell to them nicely as well there too.
Just to sort of round off, a couple of things. Obviously, one of the biggest sports teams in the country, the whole island, is the Patriots. And I'm not sure if you boys seen it live or watched it back, Connell, Bill Belichick on McAfee. I really enjoyed it. I wasn't sure how it was going to go, but the fact that he was slating Drake May. He was slating him whenever he was picking number three.
He was also talking about him even before he was picked, so I don't think it was like... Now, granted, he probably knew, and like all of us kind of knew, that he was going to go there. So, but I don't think he has really any... I don't think he has any reason to like not like him or not like... Especially the coaching staff there, because like a lot of them he was there with and clearly has a relationship with
and
as well.
Just a shout-out, Dub21 on TikTok for Jared Mayo. If he's anything like our Mayo, he will win feck all. Hashtag 1951. Mayo season has started officially in New England. Drake May.
We get some world to follow us on TikTok, obviously. We get some like great engagement with the comments there.
I was sitting in Tesco putting that up the overnight there. The Mayo era has truly started. Look, they had to go for a quarterback. We all know they were going to go for a quarterback, but
wait and see. I mean, like, it's better.
It's one of those things, yeah.
When I'm talking about if you're an upgrade over Russell Wilson, I mean, you have to be an upgrade of Mac Jones, but it's also the coaching is going to help him out there. It's just they, under Bill O'Brien last year, like the offense. But again, it was that the offensive line was the turnstiles and they had no one to throw to. So it's like he's going to be in a tough position. So it's like, is he the new Zach Wilson that like he doesn't stand a chance because he's not surrounded by the talent or coaches? We'll see.
What do you reckon, Mr. Diggin?
For the Patriots, I just think they could have used, like, I would have loved if they traded back, because one, it would have made the draft a lot more interesting, but it is a case of if your quarterback is there, you pick your quarterback. I think they were kind of sold on him, especially the whole
time. They had nobody to put, like, literally, they had no person to put on the field at quarterback. Otherwise, it would have, like, the Broncos, whatever that was, 2 years ago, and they, like, down to the seventh string.
To be fair, there was genuine talk on the Thursday that they were seriously considering going back.
Supposedly, yeah.
But at that point, take Marvin Harrison, and that's where it's like the Denver Broncos, when they're just forcing a quarterback pick. I don't think the Patriots were forcing a quarterback pick. Of course, like, it would have opened up the entire draft if they did trade back, but it's like, I didn't think that they could trade back. You have to get a blue-collar player or your quarterback. There's no point, because that's what I'm saying about the Cardinals last year. The Cardinals showed patience and they didn't take Will Anderson, but I'm still like, well, you could have had your defensive edge set for years to come with one of these massive players. So I understand when you have so many pieces like the Cardinals the last few years or the Patriots now, you have to stockpile picks. You have to be patient and use those picks whether this year or next year. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I can understand it from that point of view. But when you have someone like Marvin Harrison that was there, I'm like, well, he's first of all going to put bums in seats, but like, you don't get too old too fast at that position.
Just finally to round it off, we've seen Paddy Clifford, Greg O'Shea, and Stevie make draft.
Hey, way to go him.
Week.
No, way to go him. Because as a Jags fan, way to go him. He is probably one of the few voices for the Jags in Ireland for years. And to be put in that spot, that's such an honor. It's such a massive deal.
Hypothetically, if there were three picks next year. By the way, like, think of where this has went to now. There was picks in the UK, and now there was never, I don't think there's ever even been a pick in Belfast, lads. There hasn't been.
Yeah, we got it.
So, well, who, like, if you had to pick one person to make a pick in Ireland.
Do you know what, though, Michael? When you're talking about
influencer or celebrity.
No, do you know what? The power of Paddy, because do you know what? It would have made sense for the Steelers to do it in Yuri, you know, their links. The power of Paddy, not only has the team asked them to be part of it, they said, we'll go to you. Like, literally, imagine what kind of a needle turner do you need to be there? We'll go to you.
I think Nuri next year, I think I have no idea, but I think Nuri next year, if you had to pick one, I think Marty Morrissey.
Oh no! I'd go for. I think is it next year? The year after is the presidential election. So does that mean
27? Yeah.
Yeah. Does that mean that you know, Michael D could be available to make a draft pick? You know,
have you any genuine there? Like, sort of, have you any, like? See, you've got loads of guy heads. You've got rugby heads. Tommy Bowe. Let me pick someone.
Seven kids.
Seven picks. No, it was 10 siblings.
I wonder, will someone be out of touch enough to go and try and get Conor McGregor too on some like out of touch team? Thinks we all love him still.
Yeah.
Not that any team will be out of touch. NFL Ireland.
It'd be cool to get, like, I don't know, was it too cliche to be like, oh, let's get some of the horse racing people or something involved in the show around the country. Like we have such a culture that Vulture Ireland, if you like, at some point gets involved as well. It's like,
get Shane Lowry.
Shane Lowry's in my head. He's
Shane
the one I'm
Lowry
thinking of.
Shane Lowry and Rory McIlroy together, though.
Shane Lowry down his pub down but, in...
And give them some player who has a really hard name to pronounce, because the two of them just wouldn't know what to do with it.
Well, at the time of recording, we don't know what sort of names either of these boys or any of these boys have to do, so it'll be interesting to see. I know Evander Killen on RT is a massive Packers fan.
We've been told since coming down to Kerry that the Gooch is a massive fan.
Well, I didn't know this. I mean, Connell, you're going to do some digging now. Sorry for the whole surname pun there, but you're going to do some digging now to get boys in this show now in August. On that, we're in Limerick and Neil Reynolds. We're in Killarney with Paddy Clifford.
Sorry, also, if I can get Pro Football Ireland involved in the L draft pick, I'd love to be these boys. I love some of these fans. I don't know, has anything come to... But when I heard the Jets making pick, I was like, well, I'd love if Simon Kennedy or someone was like... I suppose it is limited to those teams. I'm not going to shout out all the Chicago Bears fans or whatever. You know who you are, but I suppose...
It might change. There might be a different
team. There could be different teams, but if we're talking about it, it's like, I genuinely... Like, Greg O'Shane, you might have heard in my voice at the top of the show, it's like, I wasn't thrilled when I saw it because, again, he gets so many opportunities and... I love seeing the fans involved, so that's why I'm so happy for your Stevies. And that's why I'm saying about Paddy Clifford, he is genuinely a fan of the Steelers. We know from talking to him, he's into it and he knows what's up.
One thing for sure, just to end it, we are truly on the map. Doesn't matter if you're in the north or the south or wherever you want to say you're from, it's all good. We are truly on the map, lads.
Every person in America, every person, like, there's people who, like, I'll watch, like, watching the draft and stuff, like, if someone is watching NFL Network, they're going to see Paddy Clifford. Like, they're going to see, it might be the first time, but it won't be the last time.
Jordan Mailata in the first round went live from Australia making a pick. And I was like, that's a game changer, because it's not just Ireland. They are international.
It's not just a Saturday.
When they did a first round pick shows you from the Zoom link. And I was like, what other country? Like, they wish there was states. Like, even if you're the Arizona Cardinals, you might make one pick remotely. In Ireland, we have three this year. That's insane.
It's really cool. And long may it continue. It's incredible to see where it's went in the last 10 years. It means a lot, personally.
10 months, Michael.
It's unreal. Obviously, we haven't even talked about the NFL changing names in London. NFL UK and Ireland. Up the lads. Oh, good lads. Yeah, happy massive. Days. Right, anyway, we are signing off from Killarney. I want to shout out to you boys, Mark Hogan, Colin Diggin, especially you boys, taking your Saturday, coming on here. Massive thanks to Falcha for the hospitality up the Cardinals, as he says. And look, we'll be back in Kerry in a few months. I have a feeling Mark Hogan might book an 11.99 flight down.
No, I'm 100%. No, I'm taking the day off work.
yeah. Looking forward to that, Diggin. Big night there, lad. Night.
Go to
Mass on the Sunday now, yeah?
It's right next to the train station, just for anyone wondering. So, like, you have really, if you're in Limerick, but if you're in Cork,
hypothetically,
you have no excuse not to.
If it sells out, it's the biggest ever night we've ever had. I'm telling you, like, it could be huge. And we ask people, if you're in Kerry, if you're in Cork, wherever, spread the word. Let's make this a huge night. And not for us, but for the game here. If there's a game in Dublin, Cork, Kerry, Belfast, Derry, etc. Galway as well deserves to be a part of it as well. So please do spread the word if you can. linktr.ee/NFL Ireland. If you click that link, you'll also have the opportunity to get tickets, which are limited, for the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. And we'll chat to you soon, folks. We'll be back Sunday night live, 9 o'clock for the draft. I'm back with a podcast Monday morning with myself, Mr. Hogan, Mr. Diggin. That's us, Slonga Foyle.
Thank you.
Chat to you soon.